Okay, so I think this is the first podcast that I've done where I actually have two guests, which is kind of exciting. Paul Holgate, apparently, I'm just finding out, my husband and you have golfed with a mutual friend, Alan Gratzer, yeah, of REO Speedwagon, and you were all excited to tell me that, and I don't care about the golf part. I really don't. Sorry.
Well, he was our ringer.
He is.
Not Alan.
Chris. My husband just got his third hole in one not too long ago.
Are you serious?
But when you play as much as he does, it's a percentage thing. I mean, yeah, he's good, but yeah.
We usually start drinking at like 9 in the morning, right? And then because it's noon somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I'm good at driving the golf cart and drinking Bloody Marys, but I talk too much, so I've never invited anymore. I haven't been invited. I've been married to him 30 years, and right, it's been at least 2 decades.
Nice.
And Paul brought Randy Scholes with him.
How you doing?
And this is going to be an interesting conversation about local music, music all over the world, and how you both ended up and stayed in Northern California. You do have in common that I know Montrose and Ronnie Montrose. Yeah. What other bands have you played in together? And how'd you guys meet?
Well, we were in a band together called the Greg Golden Band, mm-hmm, out of Reno. And it was weird because Greg had an idea of having two singers together. And usually singers have huge egos and it's hard to be on the same stage together. But he and I immediately clicked. And we have no ego and we both, well, I do.
We're hams, and it's okay to be a ham.
But we just clicked, and it was a weird thing. And yeah, I've never had that in my life.
And how long ago was that?
4 years? About 4 years.
Yeah.
I think
almost
4 years ago. Yeah.
Definitely three.
Yeah, right. So we did a lot of shows together, uh-huh, doing that. And then I had always been doing this. I love Bob Seger, and I've been doing a Bob Seger, mm-hmm, tribute,
yep,
for a while now. It's called Night Moves. And I thought, you know what would be cool is, because Randy's got this incredible voice, he nailed the John Fogerty thing, and we put this together to where Night Moves and Creedence Classic Revival together. We do three songs and three songs, and then we do,
and
we play together. And we've been playing Indian casinos and, you know, we've been playing all over. Nude Stock.
Oh, I love it.
Nude Stock was the best.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me Nude Stock.
2 years.
What's Nude Stock? Come on.
Nude Stock is a bunch of wonderful people that would rather walk around without their clothes than with them.
And where does this take place?
Are you not in Wilton?
Oh, man.
Wilton. It's a beautiful place. It's called Casa del Sol, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we've heard of it. It's a big nudist colony.
Yeah.
You can Google it.
It's called Casa.
They don't like colony because that's like...
Cult?
Oh, jeez.
I thought it was Casa Sans Clothes.
That's it.
Well, Paul, this guy who's sitting next to you, Randy, this is what I found out about you, some of the groups you've played with. 38 Special, Pat Travers, Foghat, The Outlaws, Kid Rock, Bad Company, Marshall Tucker Band, Neil Schon. Couple of interesting, kind of well-known-ish people there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
How'd you get your start in all of this?
You know what? I'm playing around local a lot, you know, and then just, you always try to make yourself a little better, and you find people you can actually get along with, right? And I've been fortunate enough to do it with a band, Rogue. I've been with, mm-hmm, probably like 22 years, and it seems like I've been real fortunate finding not only talented, but people that are real good people, and that's a huge key. Even when I first started singing for Ronnie, the first thing he's out of his mouth was, yeah, Dan tells me you can sing real good, but you got to be a decent person the other 23 hours.
Well, now, see, that's cool to hear. So a couple questions, and whoever wants to answer, go for it. Is the music community smaller than people think it is? You know what I mean? Because
everybody knowing each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the most part. There's times when we can all get together and jam. One of them is like the Pat Martin All-Star Jam.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good time when if we're not playing, we all get together and just jam, and Pat gives us an excuse to do something we don't normally do.
Pat's my neighbor.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
We love Pat.
Did he sell you Anderson Windows also?
No. Our producer, Kim, is a good friend. Her husband and she and Pat, Monica, and Chris and I rec bars occasionally.
Awesome. Oh,
there you go.
So there's that.
That's cool.
Let's talk about Montrose. I remember seeing them in Santa Cruz a million years ago. How, you know, tell both of your stories. How
I might have been the singer at the Catalyst.
Yes. Yeah, that was you.
I did multiple, you know, years at doing the Catalyst with them. And then Keystone Palo Alto. Remember Keystone Palo Alto?
Absolutely. Such a great place.
Yeah, you're East Bay, huh?
I was Sunnyvale, Cupertino, right. Santa Cruz, San Francisco.
San Lorenzo.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Homestead High School.
Right?
There's your guy right there.
That's cool. Awesome. How did you end up playing with Montrose?
I knew Mark Bonilla, and Mark Bonilla is in Toy Matinee. And,
oh, yeah.
And he used to be in a band from the Bay Area called Rock Island, and they were killer. And they were anyway. He introduced me to Steve Klausman, and Steve Klausman was Tesla's first manager.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
He got them their deal, and so I sent him a demo, and then he said he loved it, and we got together and rehearsed. And Ronnie said, "You're in. We're on tour next week." And I thought, well, it was like that quick. I had to learn all those songs. Which they were in my subconscious anyway, right?
That's so cool.
Well, that's how it works.
But what's that like? That's, you know, you're in.
It was amazing because I would go to the supermarket, you know, and he would be with me, and they would see his credit card that said Ronnie Montrose, you know, and I thought that was the coolest thing, you know, just blowing people away.
Oh, yeah.
But that was bad. He was so incredible back then. He was playing, his playing was just, he was on fire.
Mm.
And it was one of those things where, you know, I was 25 and I was out on tour, and Tesla was opening for us. They were called City Kid.
They did
a bunch of dates with us.
Uh-huh.
I actually play with the drummer of City Kid now. Bobby's in our band Rogue.
Oh gosh. Yeah. See, it is. It's a little incestuous.
It is really
community.
A tight knit.
Yeah.
So, about your friend over here, this is what Ronnie Montrose said about Randy. I've worked with some of the best singers around, Sammy Hagar, Edgar Winter, and Davey Pattison. Randy is the singer I've always been looking for. What was that like, sir?
That's cool.
That was pretty cool. I found actually it was Facebook later, people going, man, did you see what he said? He toasted. And I talked to Ronnie later on the day, and I went, hey, bud, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that, man. He goes, while you're down there, I go, you suck.
Yeah, get it? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's awesome.
He was real good. Like, see, as far as how I hooked up with him, Dan McNay has been playing bass, was playing bass for him for years, and Steve Brown, you know, his brother Mick Brown from Dokken, but Steve played with Oleander and a lot of other bands, but he was Ronnie's drummer, and they'd been telling Ronnie about me. To, you know, because Ronnie was looking for another singer. And Ronnie goes, there are no good singers in Sacramento.
Oh, man.
And finally, when he had it, they showed him a video of me singing when they were in Florida, and he goes, call him. And I actually got the call from Frank Hannon. I used to sing for Frank years ago, too. But I got the call from Frank going, is it okay if I give your number to Ronnie? And I went, no, don't do that.
Nah.
But Dan called me, like, next day after that, I got the set list, and he goes, well, you know, we're going to give him another chance. And about a month later, Dan called me and goes, Ronnie, why don't you come down to L.A. and audition? And so I had like a whole month to get it down, the music. And he moved my audition to like 9 in the morning, like noon.
Which is awesome time for musicians, right? 9 a.m.
Yeah, really. Like, you're real warmed up at 9, right? But I'm... When I first met, because I saw a show he's had, like a fill-in singer down at the Marquee down there in L.A., Corona. And so I didn't get to meet Ronnie the Friday night when they were playing, but I met him the next day.
And what was that like?
Well, I mean, because I felt real confident because I had all my homework done. And I shook his hand and go, look, man, whatever happens, thanks for inviting me to my own rock and roll fantasy camp.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I did like half a Montrose song, and he stops and goes, great tone, man. Then I did like
you
another.
You totally remember all of
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Did another half of a Montrose song, and he goes, great tone. Then he goes, you know any Gamma? And this is the only time I told him, I know your whole set list. And he goes, so I did Gamma, and by the time I hit the chorus in Voyager, he's behind me going, go, Randy, go! Oh, you know, gosh. So I went, I knew I had it at that point. But then he goes, the next day when he called and goes, the gig's yours, all he said was, see you in Folsom.
Oh, jeez.
I thought, no rehearsal? What? Like he said, okay, so we start next week or, you know. But nah, just a real good dude.
So talk some more about that. Paul, what was he like? And then we got to talk about
he was mean to me.
He was mean?
Oh, I got the older, kinder run.
Kinder, gentler?
Oh, he was all over me.
How old
constant.
Was he about when you guys were together, Paul, when you were working with him? About
how old was he?
I
think he was about 39 or 40 maybe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was 25. And the thing was, when we got out on tour, my hair was down past my ass. And,
wow.
You know,
well, he was cute.
yeah. And he looked like Sergeant Carter, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
The girls would come backstage. I really shouldn't say that.
Oh, dude, come on.
Dude.
Oh, please.
See? Come
and
on.
They thought that I was Ronnie.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and this was, you know, this was in the
80s. He didn't look very rock and roll, and you did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was hard, you know. I mean, and I had all kinds of little things. He didn't have any of these things where you can't walk in front of him or anywhere on that side. He had all these things.
No, I did have the one thing.
Oh.
He goes, this ain't a club, man. So I don't want you jumping and moving all around the stage.
Oh.
I just want you to be more like a Robert Plant or Lou Gramm or Paul Rodgers. You know, be more, let your voice do the talking. So people are going, you all right? Because they're so used to seeing me work the stage.
Right.
And I go, hey, like, I'm doing what the boss said, man.
Yeah, yeah. back in the day, he was even more regimented?
He built me this mic stand. It's really funny. He said he built me this mic stand. It was a piece of sheet metal, and it had this pole, like a stripper pole.
Oh, God.
And I used to do handstands. I would, like, swing. It was a rock concert,
jeez,
man. We were doing huge places, right?
Mm-hmm.
We played with like Motorhead and Pat Travers, and you know, we were doing
so cool.
Some great places. And so, yeah, it was a show.
What have either of you been starstruck, or who in your many, many years of performing, who were the people, person that had
Lou Gramm?
Yeah,
for me,
okay,
Paul Rodgers.
Wow.
My band Rogue opened for Bad Company at Arco Arena with David Lee Roth.
Oh, jeez. And was he was
like,
the one?
Just, oh, he's the voice. So,
yeah,
I mean, just,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Where I feel about and Lou Gramm,
just
too.
To be,
yeah.
And I love Lou Gramm, too, but just to be in the presence of Paul Rodgers is just like,
that is
you
awesome.
Know? But even, like I said, playing with Ronnie, it was, if you've been in a band in a club, you've played Rock Candy or Bad Motor Scooter, and it was so weird to be singing it.
With the guy.
And the guy leans in, and you look, and it's going, damn. Right here,
yeah.
Man, you know?
That's awesome. So the magnitude of playing with Ronnie Montrose wasn't lost on either of you.
Cool. And the cool thing is I met Sammy. I know you interviewed him.
Yeah, known him. I've known him a bit.
He's
yeah.
Awesome, man. The guy was cool. I didn't want to meet him because, you know, he'd been that guy, you know, and when you meet somebody and they let you down.
Oh, the hero, yeah.
There's nothing worse, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I try to stay away from those guys. Like, you know, and then I met him, and he was just the coolest guy.
The real deal.
Yeah.
One of the last times I talked to him one of the times I talked to him, we talked about the death of Ronnie Montrose, and he was very distraught, and I feel like he was still getting his head around it. It might have been in 2013, and we lost Ronnie in 2012. How did you each find out about Ronnie's death?
You should go first.
I was actually at Swabie's.
This is Randy, by the way.
I was at Swabie's with my brother.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was actually, he was down from Washington. We were going to do a couple of dates before we took off to the East Coast, like Canada and East Coast. And we were going to do, like, Santa Cruz and San Jose. And I was telling my brother, stay, man. We'll go down and do that. And it's going to be great. And we were there sitting at Swabie's drinking. And then it was like, I get this call from Steve Brown, the drummer. And he goes, Ronnie's gone, man. And I went, what? And he goes, Ronnie's gone, man. He's dead, dude. And it was like, so I got the gig at 48 years old, right? Something you'd never think would happen. And to have it just, okay, you're there, and then it was like all gone, just like that, you know? And
tour.
It was, I mean, we had a whole tour. We just shot a DVD. We were going to be playing in front of the Giants, for like five songs in front of the Giants. This was the early one, their second World Series. He called like a week before. Hey, man, we're gonna do five songs in front of the 50,000 people. Then you and I are going to do the national anthem. And everything was like out the window. And it was just kind of like such a big year. And it was the DVD was going to be released and just all gone, you know. And, but I mean, I'm sure it was crushing for Paul too, you know.
Well, what about you, Paul?
It's weird because I had a love-hate relationship with him, just like Sammy. I don't know. He might say differently now, but because they got over it, because he was tough, you know, on us. And you know, if you read, have you read Sammy's book?
Yes.
So you know,
yeah,
he was tough on him, really tough. He was the same with me because I was one of the first singers that actually went out and sang Montrose stuff again because he stopped doing all that.
Yeah.
He started doing this thing with Mitchell Froom, and he was in Gamma. He does a lot of movie soundtracks now, and it was just the two of them. He was doing keyboards, and people wanted to hear Rock Candy, right? So I was one of the first singers to come back and do that stuff. And so when I heard, I couldn't believe it. I immediately got upset because how could he do this, you know?
He took his own life, yes.
And then I started thinking, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have, you know.
And how bad's it got to be? Do you think that's your only choice? How bad's it going to be inside to think that was my choice?
Yeah. Especially with, as you were saying, Randy, that there's so much on the horizon.
Yeah, so much promising. It was going to be the best year ever for him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, like I said, it was weird for me because I started singing for him the end of the tour he was doing in 2011. And in that short span, I mean, I was at his 64th birthday, shot his one and only DVD, and I was with his mother-in-law, was one that brought his ashes home from the crematorium.
Oh, my gosh.
So you go from not even knowing him to within a week, I go, dude, Steven and I feel like we've known you and Lisa forever. And he goes, Lisa and I feel the same way. We just locked. And like I said, he got the cantankerous, real ornery Ronnie. I got the real funny, laid-back, you know, cool Ronnie.
But both such different and yet unique and important experiences. Have you talked to other musicians that were involved in his world and kind of had the same, like, oh, my God?
Well, it's funny because the band we're in, there's four of us.
Steve's working with us.
Steve Brown.
Uh-huh.
So Steve Brown is from Auburn area.
Okay.
You know, he grew up there, and I think he's the best drummer to come out of out of this area. He's incredible. His brother is in Dokken. And has been in Ted Nugent.
Yeah,
so he grew up with his brother, 10 years older than him. And anyway, he was in the band just before he died. And then Larry Hart, our bass player, was in the band before me in 1983. And so he played with him from 83 to 84.
So you think Ronnie's up there, has a hand in all of this?
He does. It's a trip.
And Larry
say
actually
that.
Says it.
Yeah. It kind of brought us together.
So let's talk as we close. We've got, how much time have we got, Kim?
We got a couple minutes.
Okay. You kind of, Paul alluded to it early on, or maybe Randy, that Northern California gets kind of a crappy rap for musicians, but the names that you've talked about in the last 20 minutes or so, what are the differences, better or worse? You've both recorded all over the place and in Southern California. Why are you guys here in Northern California?
Well, I moved to L.A. When I got my first record deal, I had Ronnie play on the album. It was a band called Heist. We were on MCA.
Love it.
And so I talked to him and had him come and play on the record and with Steve Perry and all kinds of different people that come on in. And then moved to Hollywood and joined a bunch of different bands, you know, trying to make it. I was in a band with Craig Goldie from Dio, and we had the keyboard player from Autograph. Remember Autograph?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Turn up the radio.
Yeah.
And the difference over there is everybody's a formerly of,
that's what I found. I was like, hey, well, anybody you work with? I go, well, I worked with Ronnie Montrose. Oh, so did I.
Oh, who didn't?
I can tell you something that's really funny.
Tell me.
It's not really funny. I was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. And when I switched my health plans, I went to Kaiser, and I'm sitting down talking to my oncologist. And he's telling me, well, what else do you do? And I go, sing. He goes, anybody I know? And I go, Ronnie Montrose. He goes, I was his oncologist.
Oh, gosh.
So my oncologist is Ronnie's old oncologist.
And wait, and you're in Northern California?
Yeah.
And, well, we'll have to talk because my husband is also a survivor. We'll have to compare oncologists at some other time. That's awesome. So both of you, why Northern California? What's so cool about this area?
I couldn't live anywhere else.
You know what I love about Northern California is in an hour and a half, you're at the ocean or the mountains.
Yeah.
It's beautiful either way. And I mean, my dad was originally Air Force. We moved here to Sacramento River Station.
Mm-hmm.
So I never went out there. But, you know, it's not like you're bound or you could. I got friends in L.A. that if I'll fly, they want me to do a show, I'll fly down there and do a show down there with them. Uh-huh. You know, and you could still get down there. But Northern California is so beautiful. I much rather live here.
And what would you say to the up-and-coming artists, people who were you and just got the bug and just had the music and just couldn't see anything but living and breathing music? What would you say to those younger people?
Buy your own recording gear and record yourself and video while you're recording with a band and get, you know, make yourself presentable. And, you know, and record as much as you can and learn about miking and all that stuff. Because if I would have done that at my early age, and rather than going to school later in life to learn about recording engineering, I would have been able to save so much money and be able to have so many more records out. And I think that's one of the things. And write as much material as you can.
Exactly. And it's both better and worse now. I mean, you can. There are so many tools to market yourself, to market your product. Yeah, I mean, the internet, YouTube. Like he said, home recording. You could do so much better than you could back when we were young men.
We had to go to the record plant.
Exactly, you had to go to the record. You had to go to a real nice studio.
Yeah, $250 bucks an hour.
You know, and have somebody say, "Lean on the counter. I'm going to get all your money." but most important thing. I mean, you need to find talented people. But you need to find good people. I mean, there's no room in any band for egos. Like I said, it's okay to be a ham. There's no problem with loving being on stage and having people love you. But don't get so full of yourself that nobody can stand you.
Words to live by. You know? Thanks, guys. This was fabulous. Thanks so much.
Thanks for
coming in, guys.